Funding for this podcast comes from MathWorks, creators of MATLAB and Simulink software, accelerating the pace of engineering and science. Learn more at MathWorks.com.
Transcendent Man is the title of a new documentary that explores the life and ideas of the futurist inventor Ray Kurzweil. At age 17, Kurzweil used a computer to compose music. He went on to MIT, invented the first CCD flatbed scanner, and since then has started more than 20 high-tech companies. But as the film Transcendent Man makes clear, Kurzweil has made a name for himself talking about the future, predicting the future, and how the explosion of technology is shaping the future.
He predicted the collapse of the Soviet Union, described the rise of the Internet, and foretold the year a computer would beat a chess champion.
It says computers will have consciousness in just 25 years.
Kurzweil sees a day when microscopic computers will make all kinds of learning as easy as downloading.
You're saying millions of tiny computers floating around in my head?
Fundamentally, you're talking about tampering with humankind.
Inventor Ray Kurzweil thinks that one day humans may be able to live forever.
Tiny computers in our brains, eternal life, and artificial intelligence machines that will be much more intelligent than us. These are just some of the ideas that prompt many people to consider Ray Kurzweil a brilliant, restless genius, and a few critics to label him a crackpot with ideas that have no basis in objective reality. Transcendent Man lays out Kurzweil's life and vision, and the film is showing tonight at the Coolidge Corner Theater in Brookline. And Ray Kurzweil, thanks so much for coming into Radio Boston to talk about Transcendent Man.
Yeah, it's great to be here again.
Transcendent Man is based on your book, The Singularity is Near, which is about this exponential growth of information and technology and the concept of singularity. What is that?
Well, you got the right idea. At its core, exponential growth is the main theme. And not everything grows exponentially, but information technology does. And, of course, it's true of our gadgets. I mean, this computer I'm holding here is a billion times more powerful per dollar than the computer I used.
And you're holding a smartphone, basically.
Yeah. As a student, it's 100,000 times smaller, and we're going to continue that progress. And it's not just applicable to these gadgets. It's also true of everything we care about. Health and medicine is now an information technology, didn't used to be. And this exponential progress is not intuitive. We have an intuition about the future, and it's linear, not exponential. And it makes a huge difference. As the movie points out, 30 steps linearly gets you to 30. 30 steps exponentially, 2, 4, 8, 16, gets you to a billion. That's what we've actually seen, you know, over the last 30 years, and it's what we'll see over the next 25 years.
And so what are the consequences of this? In that clip we just played from the film, we're talking about tiny computers in our brains, we're talking about extending life, really bending nature's rules almost.
This computer, which is now already a billion times more powerful per dollar than what I use as a student, will be a billion times more powerful in 25 years and 100,000 times smaller, so it will be the size of a blood cell. We're going to introduce these into our bodies and brains. That's already started. There are lots of people with computers in their bodies and in their skulls, interacting with their biological organs, including their brain, like Parkinson's patients and people with deafness and so on. But ultimately, we'll be able to introduce these without surgery. If they're the size of blood cells, we can just put them in the bloodstream. They'll go into our brains through the capillaries, interact with our biological neurons, put our brains on the Internet, give us vastly greater memory and problem-solving capability, keep us healthy from inside, augment our immune system, and there are many other implications.
Mm. People are afraid of this. Why? Some people.
I think people are afraid of change, but what's really interesting is how startling changes become just routine, everyday reality once they happen. I mean, I talked in the 80s about there would be this vast worldwide network tying together hundreds of millions of people to each other, and people thought that was nuts. When these things happen, we just accept them as everyday reality. We have social networks now that didn't exist even 3-4 years ago that are now toppling governments around the world.
You lay out such a fabulously optimistic view of what technology can do. At one point in Transcendent Man, you say pretty much that it provides everything we need to solve poverty, energy, and disease. It's a fabulously optimistic view of technology.
Sounds optimistic because yeah. I do believe that it is only the scale of these exponentially growing technologies that can successfully address the major challenges of today. I think the power of these technologies and its exponential rise is inexorable. How we apply it is not.
Mm-hmm.
And are we really going to apply it to address poverty and disease and so on? And are we also going to control new dangers, which I believe we can do, but we have to, you know, apply our minds to keeping them safe and so on. I mean, fire kept us warm, but also was used as a weapon of destruction, can be very destructive.
Well, when it comes to using these new technologies to improve, in your optimistic view, human health, there are also some critics out there that show up in this film. And I wanted to play a clip from Transcendent Man in which William Hurlbut, a Stanford neuroscientist, lays out some of his fears about Ray Kurzweil's vision. Here it is.
We could do a lot of foolish things trying to alter human beings to improve them. The net result of that might be tragedy.
Ray is a very interesting person, entertaining, kind of a visionary. He's not a biologist, however. And I think were he a biologist, he would be more moderate in his extensions and extrapolations of the uses of our technology. Engineering a better human being is going to be a daunting task.
I agree with William Hurlbut about the complexity. And I think I appreciate the complexity of the brain or the complexity of biology. But I think they don't appreciate the power of exponential growth. And I think that's where we differ. Yes, biology is complex, but we're going to be able to handle that, and we are handling it.
Well, the criticism that I heard, or not the criticism, the concern that I heard from William Hurlbut was this, that you can't or shouldn't try to engineer a better human being because it might have consequences that are unforeseen that we just don't know
about. We've already been doing that. I mean, human life expectancy naturally is 23. It was 37 in 1800. Mm. And we're going to push back on every frontier, including this so-called theoretical maximum age. I mean, all of that can be engineered around. We have the genome. We have the means of changing genes in a mature individual. The power of exponential growth will enable us to engineer these very complex systems towards greater longevity, greater health, and we're well down the path in doing that.
And give me a concrete example, and you talked about some of these specifically in your book, and they show up in the film. 20 years from now, 30 years from now, what are we talking about in real terms about what we're going to be able to do?
We're in the early stage now, but it's going to progress exponentially where we can reprogram the software of life. We have outdated software running in our bodies. The fat insulin receptor gene says, hold on to every calorie because the next hunting season may not work out so well. That was a good idea 1,000 years ago. I'd like to tell my fat insulin receptor gene, you don't need to do that.
Hmm.
And that was actually tried very close to where we are at the Joslin Diabetes Center. It's actually only a few blocks from here. And these animals ate ravenously and remained slim. And they got the health benefits of being slim. They lived 20% longer. There's lots of genes and networks of genes we'd like to modify. We have technologies to do that. RNA interference can turn genes off. New forms of gene therapy can add new genes. The third revolution is nanotech, where we go beyond biology. Like, for example, these little robots, which could be a very intelligent immune system and download new software to take on new pathogens that show up. They won't be fooled by cancer like our immune system does. Our immune system thinks cancer is you, and so it doesn't attack it. So there's lots of ways we can keep ourselves healthy for a very long time.
Well, it's a fascinating film, a chock-a-block full of amazing ideas. I want to ask you about a couple more, Ray Kurzweil. The idea of an artificial intelligence machine that exceeds our intelligence and really has the capability or the potential of taking over what we do. Again, huge potential there, but very frightening to consider.
Well, the movie talks about my prediction in the early 80s, how a computer would beat the world chess champion in 1998. And I also predicted then that when that happens, we would immediately downgrade chess and say, oh, well, chess isn't that important after all. So both of those things happened in 97. And what people said was, well, computers will never master the subtleties and vagaries and ambiguities of human language. So the recent Watson victory shows that computers actually can do a pretty good job, not perfect, but very impressive, of handling things like metaphors and irony and similes and jokes and puns. Some of the language in those queries are very abstruse, and they master it. This knowledge that it had, this knowledge base, was not hand-coded. It actually got it on its own by reading, like Wikipedia and whole encyclopedias. My thesis is that computers will reach human levels of understanding in things like language within 20 years. I think Watson makes that look very doable at this point. But the last point is it's not a alien invasion from Mars of these intelligent machines. We're creating them to extend ourselves, and we're going to literally do that by merging with them and putting them in our bodies.
See, this is what intrigues me so much, this merging. So we're these organic, natural beings that now have tiny computers and all kinds of things that we've implanted in our body, and we've created machines that have moved closer and closer and closer and even surpassed our abilities. So the question is, have we become the same as machines, and machines are going to be the same as us tomorrow?
Computers don't live in a separate village, you know, today. I mean, we created them. You know, I carry this around on my belt. I feel actually incomplete without it.
Your cell phone. Yeah.
It is part of who I am. It's a gateway to all of human knowledge. If you ask what's unique about human beings, it's that we do exactly what you said. We extend our horizons. We transcend through our tools. We picked up a stick to reach a higher branch, and we've been extending our physical and mental reach. And we're going to keep doing that. It's not a new story. And even putting computers inside our brains and our skulls is something that's right around the corner.
You say point blank in the film that technology can allow us eventually to live forever.
Well, I think we will surpass any definable limit. But, of course, I'm never going to be able to come on your radio program and say, you know, I've done it. I've lived forever. We will get to a point where I can back myself up, and you might say, well, that would mean forever.
But I see, yeah.
But we will be able to overcome the major challenges, all the diseases that we are concerned about, and ultimately actually back up our bodies and brains. You think nothing of backing up your phone and your laptop, and that has a lot of personal information. I think it's part of who I am, all these, you know, files that express myself. It's not a metaphor to say there's information in my brain that defines my skills, personality, and memories, and I'd like to back that up too.
Futurist inventor Ray Kurzweil. He's the author of The Singularity Is Near. He's also the subject of a new documentary, Transcendent Man, which is showing tonight at the Coolidge Corner Theater in Brookline.